podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az and I have a very special guest. Last week we spoke to world number two. This week we're speaking to world number five, which is a little bit harsh. You've got a red arrow, you were third. You've gone down the smallest of red arrows tabs, but you must be thrilled with how things are going. How are you?
I'm doing so well, Az. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I thought I was having a good season, but now I'm talking to all these people who are ranked right up in the upper echelons, and it's making me a bit jealous, but still good. Can you believe it? How are you feeling right now?
Honestly, I'm just living the dream, you know? Just really, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, living the dream. You've got like crowds of people outside, you know, cheering your name. Come on, Tabs. You can do it.
Red carpet treatment wherever I go, you know.
Whereabouts are you based?
I'm actually in Toronto, nice. Canada.
Nice, nice. Is there a big fantasy scene over in Canada?
Not really, no.
No.
At least I haven't seen much, but I've just like... I have a big friends group here that plays, so that's kept me going over the last 5 years, I would say.
No, they must be pretty impressed with how things are going so far.
Oh, yeah. They can't believe it either. Like, we're all competitors in the mini league, but they're all on my side now.
I think I'd quit. I think I'd quit that mini league if I were them. Yeah, we've got loads to talk about. So I want to go through a bit about kind of your experience of FPL, because you've got a big old season history. Really interesting, your season from season. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. I want to go through your season this year, find out what exactly has gone so well for you, if you know, and kind of the stuff that you use to have climbed so high up in the ranks. And then we'll talk a bit about your plans going forward. Obviously, we've got the Christmas festive schedule coming soon. We all need to plan for that. So your kind of thoughts and advice. And then, of course, we'll look at your team for game week 13, which is the next game week this weekend. So let's talk a bit about your previous seasons so far. So you are a real veteran of the game. I mean, you started playing in 2006-07, which I think was the first season, was it, of FPL?
I think that's when they first started recording it. So I think I played it before 06 as well, to be honest.
Yeah, because I started in 07-08, and I know there was a year where I didn't do it. But I think it's 06-07 was the first recorded year of on the official FPL. Yeah, so you got an 8,900 finish. I don't know how many people were playing it back then. I had a good finish that year as well. It's probably only about 100,000-200,000 people playing it, but it looks impressive.
Yeah, it must have been a much smaller game for sure.
It really was. And then you followed up with 31K. And then it's really interesting, your season since then, because you've yo-yoed between really, really like good ranks and sort of really poor ranks as well. So you had a bit of a bad spell from 08 to 11, where your highest rank was 175,000 and your lowest was 1.3 million. You bounced back in 2012 with an 8k finish, and then things sort of steadily improved. 21k, 11k, oh, and then a 400k, oh dear. But then back to a 50k, and then a 400k, and then a 48k, and then last year a 500k. So you've been right up there in the top 10k. I think you've got in the top 10k, top 100k, you've got some decent finishes there. But what's going on? How is it that you can have such a good season and such a sort of a poor season like immediately afterwards?
Yeah, so I guess a little bit. So around about 09 to 012 was a time where I was just doing it alone. So I just gave up halfway through the season, you know? Whatever. After that, it's been mostly, you know, like I haven't cared that much about overall ranking. I've been more of a mini league player.
Yep.
So, you know, when it comes down to the last 10 weeks and I'm kind of behind, it's time to start going, you know, all differentials, different captains. So I usually end up, you know, losing more ranks than gaining by taking a lot of hits at the end. That's when I'm not doing too well in my main league. So I just, you know, start playing more of a weekly kind of game.
Interesting. Yeah. So what's your kind of strategy like sort of normally going forward? Are you quite kind of a template player, but then you go differential towards the end of the season, or do you kind of back yourself to pick, you know, kind of differential players throughout that don't pay off? Or yeah, because I mean some years it works, right? Like you finish 8k, 50k, you know, these are good finishes. Other times perhaps they don't, and then you have to make up ground towards the end.
Yeah, so in the past I've been more of a differential kind of player. You know, I didn't go on the stats at all before. I used to just rely on the eye test. And funnily enough, I was a United fan. And, you know, when you first start playing FPL, you just kind of pick your favorite players instead of, you know, the players you're supposed to pick. So back in 06, when United was actually good, I had a top, you know, like top 10K rank without even, you know, no stats. I was a teenager, 14 years old. So it's kind of like, you know, the more you know in that field, the more you know, it kind of goes against you sometimes. But yeah, my style has usually been more differential, but except this season's been a very different. I'm sure we'll talk about that in like next, but yeah.
Do you find that you're using stats more then sort of in the last kind of few seasons and particularly this season?
Yeah, I mean, since I came across the Fantasy Football Scout 2 or 3 years ago, I've definitely always been a subscriber. I like looking at stats more now. This year has just been an anomaly, so I can talk more about this year as well. But just in general, I've started using stats more, and I'm a big fan of Mark Southerns as well. Shout out to Mark Southerns.
Don't shout him out. He gets enough praise. He doesn't need any more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's strange because he's the one who actually made me realize that FPL is actually a skill game and not a luck game.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean, that is the kind of always the debate, isn't it? Whether, you know, is it more luck? Is it more skill? Is it a bit of both? I mean, you see people like Mark and Fabio and these guys who sort of consistently hit these highs of, you know, 5, 6 top 1,000 finishes and stuff. It's
unbelievable.
It's really, really tricky. Really tricky to do. So let's talk about this season then. So I think the key thing with your season was you just got off to such a brilliant start. I mean, 115 points in game week 1, a game week rank of 14,000. Game week 2, you followed it up with 85 points, 149k game week rank. I mean, it's a really, really strong start. Your team value soared up to 100.5 straight away. You had in all the players right from the start who people were kind of clamouring to get. You started with Benrahma, you had Fernandes, you had Greenwood, you had Antonio, you had Ings. These guys all performed for you kind of instantly. How did you build this team? What was your kind of thinking between this, you know, this such a good start?
Yeah, so this season I had a very defined strategy, actually, which I never had before. So I saw the fixture list and I was like, I'm going to make a team for the first 7 weeks.
Mm.
And I'm going to wild card after that. Obviously, it wasn't like, you know, 100%, but, you know, having a plan was so important for me because I could just focus on the first 7 weeks. And based on the fixtures, if you can notice, I don't have any City or Chelsea players.
Mm.
And I went heavy on three teams, basically. United, Liverpool and West Ham.
Yep.
So, you know, the double triple ups, the concentrated bets on, you know, high conviction picks. So got super lucky there. I mean, Benrahma was one, I was pushed over the edge by Mark. but otherwise, you know, I just ignored City, Chelsea, and that kind of helped me a lot because I was able to focus on, you know, the teams with great matches, and then they went and performed, which is, you know, the part out of your control.
Yep. Sports Social, now on the
Sports Social Podcast Network. This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
So you had a strategy in terms of focusing on these teams, but you also kind of, do you listen to a lot of content and kind of read a lot of stuff and listen to different podcasts and things? Because you mentioned Mark. I mean, Benrahma was someone who felt like was quite big on the kind of like Twitter Fantasy Scout template. There was a lot of people who were kind of going for me, had a strong preseason, good underlying stats from last year. I wasn't convinced on him. So you listened to Mark, which is probably the best thing to do in that situation. And he started off really strongly for a lot of people. So would you reckon in previous seasons he would have been someone that you'd considered, or was it because you kind of absorb different information from sources?
I feel like, yeah, Benrahma was one where, you know, he was being touted a lot, had a good preseason as well. in the past, I may have ignored someone like that just because of, you know, they didn't do anything last year. You know, why should I trust them? But the preseason was good. And like you said, the socials were pretty heavy on him. So like even the subreddit Fantasy PL is spent time on there a lot. Mm. And then Twitter, I recently started, you know, joining Twitter. And scout discussions, obviously, between you and Mark and all that. Yeah, they definitely pushed me towards Benny.
Because it was a good year for the template. Normally, when there's such a strong template that starts a season, it goes completely wrong. You know, there's players that, you know, everyone's got. I remember like Amir Zaki a few seasons ago at Wigan. He was like in everyone's team. Players like Soldado, and you know, there's guys who,
I remember Soldado.
Yeah, people, you know, players who like just Twitter just and Scout just gets completely obsessed with, and you know, often for a good reason. You know, strong underlying stats, you know, high profile move, all this kind of thing. But this, the only player that didn't really deliver right from the start from pretty much every team was Shaw.
Luke Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, so Shaw disappointed a lot of people, but...
Yeah, I got rid of him in game week 3, I believe, for not Simicast.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people kept him, right? That was one of the things that I think what I've seen from the moves you've done was that you were proactive in getting rid of players and not holding on for them, trying to hope for that kind of, you know, big haul.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. But, yeah, I got 95 points in game week 1, which was an overall rank of 716K, which is probably one of my best ever starts to a season. My team was so boring. Like, I look back on it now and, you know, it was proper template. But when you have players like Simicass who deliver, you know, Fernandez and Salah was such a strong double up.
Template, yeah.
Antonio came in as well. It's great to have that base to kind of build from.
Right.
What I did was I looked at our kind of seasons on Premier Fantasy Tools, and I mean I'm 12K in the world. I'm about, I can't remember how many points I'm behind you. 841. How many points are you on? I'm on 922. So I'm about 80 90. Points. I'm about 80 points behind you. You got 20 in that kind of first week, but there hasn't really been a week where you've thrashed me. It's been a kind of a very consistent, you know, drip feed of extra points on top of, you know, someone like me sort of in and around the top 10K. Because that's the difference. I mean, obviously everyone's kind of aiming for the top 10K, but the fact you're fifth in the world means that, you know, every week you're gaining points on people. And that's what you're doing. But you haven't played perfectly.
No.
Like, this is what's so interesting about this kind of stuff. Is like you captained Fernandez, I think, in game week 2. For example,
yeah, I've had maybe 4 or 5 captain blanks.
Yeah, yeah. So often you think, you know, you've got to kind of get everything right to get into these top sort of tier positions, but you haven't. You've got some stuff wrong, but you've got more stuff right than you've got wrong.
I think the biggest two things I got right, they were very structural. The first one was the game week 1 crazy start with the picking everyone who scored, which obviously, you know, you can't really control that. But then the next important thing was my wild card.
Mm. Yep, I've got that here. So
yeah, you because in the wild card, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say you wild carded in game week 8, which was just your plan, like you just said. Yeah. You got in players like James, Chilwell, Cancelo, Trent. So you got in on the big at the back, you know, very early on. Foden, Salah, Saka, Lukaku, Huang. It's very, very similar to the wild card that I put together. When you did it, you were ranked 500th in the world, and it's off the back of that wild card pretty much that's seen you fly so high.
Yeah, so you know, I watched the Chelsea game on game week 7, where I happened to have Aspie as well, just for that 1 week, where just the wing backs were just bombing forward. You know, and I was just like, this just looks like a really good idea. No one's recommending it, you know, because people were kind of not down for the forward the back yet, compared to now where everyone is just like, it's template now.
Yeah.
But like every season, the pundit and analyst just wasn't, because it's so against, you know, the FPL, I guess, rules.
Yep.
But the wingbacks has changed the game this season, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the blend of, you know, you've got to do research, you've got to look at stats, you've got to listen to content, you know, that's being made by people, you know, to get ideas like Benrahma. But sometimes you just see something yourself where you think, I have to absolutely get on board with this. And the premium defenders, you know, with the consistency Man City were having at the back, with the attacking potential of Trent and the wingbacks, it was amazing. It was interesting that you went for both of them, because that was a time when people were thinking maybe get Rudiger and maybe get, you know, one of James or Chilwell. The double up of both wingbacks at that time felt really risky, but you were happy to kind of risk it for the upside of getting them both.
Yeah, it goes back to the concentrated bets, you know, in your high conviction teams. So like, again, here, when I went to game week with the wild card, I went heavy on Chelsea, City and Liverpool, right? Which were like a good long-term plan because they're the best three teams in the league. Yeah, it just happened to be those wingbacks. You know, had they had a midfielder who, you know, may have gotten more points, I may have done that.
So you're a high risk, high reward type FPL manager then. I mean, that is pretty clear from what you're saying. I've always thought that the kind of managers like you are exactly the ones that go on and win it. It's very rare to find a kind of a really consistent manager who doesn't play, who doesn't go too risky, doesn't put all his eggs in baskets, plays quite conservative. They finish well, you know, the top managers still sort of, you might have a couple of top 1,000 ranks with 10,000, but to really win it, I think you've got to play in that kind of way. I was talking to Oscar last week. I think Oscar's maybe not the same as you in that he does play quite safe and sensible at times, and he's maybe, I don't, it's harder to hit everything right if you play that way, because if you play it your way, you only really need to hit a few big calls and you can kind of gain massive momentum. Of course, it also goes the other way and means that you can fall right down very quickly. Is that a concern for you? Are you worried that you're going to, I mean, are you going to carry on with this style throughout the season, or do you think you're going to adopt a slightly more risk-averse strategy?
I'm probably going to carry on my style.
That's what we want to hear. That's what you want to hear, Tabs.
Yeah, because, you know, like, that's the only reason I've gotten this far. Well, what's the point of changing now and trying to be conservative?
Well, we can come straight into your Game Week 13 team here, because I was hoping you'd say that, and I knew you were going to say that, because looking at your team, I can already see where your next punts, or whatever you want to call them, is. So you've got Foster in goal this week. You've got McCarthy on your bench. Difficult choice between those two. Got your four at the back: Trent, Cancelo, Chilwell, James. Then you've got Foden, Son and Salah. That's all pretty standard. Adam Armstrong and Hwang, that's fine. But then you've got Harry Kane as well. So you've gone double Spurs. That is high risk, high reward.
Yeah, didn't work last week, right? That's why I got the red arrow.
Yeah, that is very true. So how confident are you with those two going forward? You've got a lot of money invested in them, sort of, you know, 22 million, almost a quarter of your budget if you start the season with that. But did you see enough in that game to justify that selection?
Honestly, no. But we are where we are. We have great three matches next. I'm happy to be in this position. Like, I think people, you know, most of the people close in the top 100 or top 1K have either Son or Kane, but I don't think anybody has both.
No.
Very, very rare.
You're the only one in the top 10 to have both.
And yeah, so I'm actually happy with that scenario.
It's pretty split as well. I think there's sort of four Sons, five Kanes, and then one person hasn't got either of them. So in terms of looking at teams and looking for these kind of differentials, I look through the teams, they all look pretty similar, pretty boring, but yours stands out because you've got both Spurs assets with three really good games coming up. I was quite impressed with them in the second half. I thought they looked a lot better. You know, they seemed to be getting more service from the wing backs. They were creating more chances. Kane looked up for it. I think Son hit the post, or, like, you know, just on the outside of the post. There was enough for me to think that in the next three games, Spurs could click. It's just if they don't, then you're going to be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, honestly, you know what? Like you said, like, I mean, the budget is also something which is kind of concerning, but at the same time, it's also, it's a bit of a comfort spot. It's like, okay, if they don't do well, I have like 22 million to spend. Mm. So I can get anybody I want to, right?
Yep. Is there anyone you're looking at over the festive schedule that you're looking at? Is there anyone that you wish you had, first of all? And is there anyone that you're looking to bring in?
Yeah, so the one player... I had to deal with Jota. Mm. And actually, it was a choice last week I had to make between Son and Jota. I went for Son, which obviously didn't work out that last week. Now the only way I can do it is by, you know, getting rid of Foden, which I think I have other problems to fix first.
Mm. The other team you don't have any representation of is Brentford, who have gone sort of completely off the boil lately. I mean, I've got double, for example. I've got Tony and Mbeumo. I mean, you know, majority of teams that I see and listen to have Tony pretty much. You've got Adam Armstrong. You've got a kind of a bit of a three-way battle, I guess, between Armstrong, Adams and Broya. You've got Hwang as well. So you've gone for two, you know, quite cheap sort of left field strikers alongside Kane. Mm-hmm. Two. Are you happy with those two? Three risky strikers, I'd call them.
I'm okay with for now. Armstrong, he had a great fixture run, and to be fair, he actually returned well in that fixture run. I think his time is coming up soon. Hwang's time is coming up soon in 2 weeks.
As in you'll be looking to get rid?
Yeah, basically those two I'm going to get rid soon. Hwang in probably 2 weeks after the good fixtures dry up. Armstrong maybe sooner, maybe not. The thing is, you know, with these cheaper players, it's kind of more difficult to replace them, right? Because you need to find the funds to do it. I'm in a situation where my funds are pretty dry because of Son and Kane, so after 3 weeks, I probably will have more funds, you know, and then maybe go to someone like Antonio or depending on the striker situation, maybe Lukaku or Ronaldo, maybe Diogo Jota finally. But I have a lot of options for later. For more short term, though, we don't know what's happening with Chilwell yet. No. But yeah, if it's a short term injury, I'd probably go with Reguilón.
Yeah, not Alonso.
And if it's a long-term injury, I'd probably go with Alonso.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. This video will probably be out Thursday, so we might have got a bit more news about it. My gut feel is that it's going to be a long one. I mean, he couldn't put any weight on it. There's rumours coming round that some of the Chelsea staff and players are concerned it's a kind of ACL injury. Could potentially be season-ending.
I was so sad to see that.
It'd be such a shame.
I mean, besides the FPL, he was doing so well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, both of them. I mean, James and Chilwell have just taken that extra step up this season. And yeah, I mean, it really is the kind of the year of the defenders, because, you know, you talk about Reguilón there, you talk about Alonso, you know, there's people with Rudiger, getting in Rudiger as well, these players are all on course to be getting sort of 200 points plus over the season. I don't think we've ever really had a year like it where, you know, what, a third of the way through the season, we've got all of these defensive options emerging. Do you think that's going to continue? Do you think you're going to keep your money in defence? Or do you think when the likes of Ronaldo, Lukaku, maybe De Bruyne, you know, some of these more expensive options emerge, you think you might be shifting some money out the back?
I think these four wing-backs are here to stay for me. Now, in a situation where there's a long-term injury to Cancelo, for example, I'm not sure if there's a City option to replace that.
Mm.
As in, you know, Zinchenko and Walker, they're decent players, but nothing like Cancelo in terms of attacking returns, right?
No.
But in terms of Chilwell to Alonso, it still makes sense because Alonso's also a great attacking player. I think as long as there's potential for attacking points with the clean sheets, then I'm pretty happy to stick with them.
Yep. So you mentioned mini leagues, talking about mini leagues. I mean, I wouldn't like to be in a mini league with you at the moment. Is that how you're kind of treating this then? Do you think when you get into this position of being in fifth, you can look at the kind of, you know, the top 100, top 200 as being in a bit of a mini league, right? So do you think you'll be basing transfers on what other people are doing? Do you think you'll be trying to find differentials on those top 100, 200? Or are you going to just carry on playing your own game?
I think right now it's way too soon to be start looking around. Just going to play my own game for now. Obviously, some decisions are just more based on just not the top 100, but just the general population. So, for example, the Son and Kane thing. I just know that most people won't have them both because of budget issues and just because of they were busy trying to like bring in all the players I already had. So they wouldn't be able to have the transfers to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting when you mentioned the players that, you know, that you're kind of worried about not owning. There's only really Jota, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I looked at my own team and it's pretty similar to yours. I mean, I didn't have Chilwell, who I was worried about, and Jota. I mean, maybe someone like Gallagher, who's been doing really well. It seems weird to think that a Crystal Palace midfielder could be someone that has given us kind of sleepless nights. But really, it does feel like at the moment there's a bit of a a barren of options. There's not too many players who I'm going into each game week fearing. People's squads are quite similar. It's all just a bit kind of, I don't know, it's a bit dry at the moment.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't feel like for you being fifth in the world, but you know, having two Spurs players at least gives you a chance if they do start performing over the next three to push on when other people are just going to be, you know, stuck with the same kind of players.
Yeah, I agreed there. I mean, it may end up being three of them if Chilwell has good news. Let's see what happens with that.
So yeah, oh yes, you'll be getting regular of triple Spurs. Now that will be
Can't believe that I'm saying that.
So would it be Reguilon over Royale?
I think so. I mean, from the last two games that I watched, I think he shows enough to be a preferred option, especially when you're 0.2 or more.
Yep. Yep. His price has gone up, scored. The only thing with Reguilon is he keeps getting subbed. It's like his fitness levels aren't quite up to Conte's demands, but you've got to think the more Conte works with him, the more, you know, the more his fitness is going to improve. I really like Reguilon. I think, you know, if Chilwell does have this injury, I think we're going to see James approaching 100% ownership in the top 10k. I'd imagine he's already ridiculously high, but
yeah,
for people who already have him, I think we're then going to see people moving to Reguilon, moving to Alonso. I don't think we're going to see big switches into, you know, Chilwell out for another forward or another midfield. I think there's enough options in the defence to keep people invested quite heavily in that. You mentioned Ronaldo. It's going to be interesting to see when he comes back into it, or whether he does under Carrick or whoever else they've got in, because the fixtures turn really nice if United.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame that, you know, the club is in such a situation right now with the good matches coming up, but... Mm. Yeah, with Ronaldo, I mean, again, yesterday he scored, right? He just keeps scoring, even if the team isn't doing well. So it could still be an option, even with Carrick or whoever else they have.
Yeah. Who do you support?
For me, it's going to be like, if Kane doesn't do anything in the next three games, it has to be Lukaku or Ronaldo for me.
I completely agree. Are you a United fan?
I'm a United fan, yes. United fan. Unfortunately.
I could tell from the disappointment in your voice. If you're not a United fan, you tend to be loving it, everything that's going on with the club. But yeah, you can tell a United fan just by, oh, it's the sigh as you think about the kind of
sigh. It's that generation of glory hunting teenagers, you know.
yeah I was very much a part of that until I switched allegiances to Brighton, which has not been particularly glory, although it's better than it was sort of 10 years ago. So are you expecting big things from United going forward, or do you think this is going to be a season where, you know, they finish? I mean, can you see them finishing in the top four, for example?
I right now don't see top four for United. I don't see it. There's West Ham doing well, and then Spurs will start doing better. That's already, you know, two more teams than you want.
Yeah. Yep. And back to FPL, when will you start believing you can win it?
I already have the belief that I can go all the way, which I think is required, but I don't think it's going to happen, but I have the belief.
Interesting. 8 points. It's 8 points between you.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
First.
Honestly, it's strange because I've actually already hit number one for 2 days in game week 11. So I've taken my screenshot of that. So like, there's no more pressure anymore. I'm just enjoying it now.
There's 20 points between you and 50th. Again, not much. There's not much in it between you and even in the
top 100. It's one bad week, you know. It's 1 week of Son Kane blanking and a Jota hat trick, and I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it's very true. Well, hopefully that won't happen. Hopefully Son and Kane will deliver. I like the fact that you've got something a bit different on some of the other people around you. I think it's gonna be really interesting to see what you do with Chilwell. I think that's, you know, we get these choices to make every part of the season. A highly owned player, everyone's moving with them. You get an injury like this, absolutely horrible for the player, but in some ways, purely from an FPL perspective, it can make the game a little bit more interesting, because we're going to see shifts in strategy now between where do people go. You know, Reguilon, Royale, Alonso, do people move the funds out of the defense finally and try and attack, you know, some of the more attacking players. So yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on the move that you make. What advice would you give for anyone who's approaching the festive schedule? And yeah, are there any strategies or any picks that you're going to be adopting going forward for the next few weeks?
In terms of strategies, you know, one of my biggest strategies is going doubling or tripling up on teams with good fixtures. So that's going to be West Ham is going to have that soon in game week 16 onwards. So you might see an Antonio Bowen double up.
Bowen over Benrahma?
I think now he's taken over as a better FPL option. In terms of strategies, I plan on maybe improving my bench once I sell either Son or Kane. It's just too much money is tied up there. But I would say, yeah, have a decent bench, maybe one or two guys who can come in. There's going to be a lot of, you know, last minute yellow flags and stuff, which you don't want to deal with transfers. And yeah, just, you know, just it's a game at the end of it, right? Just have fun with it.
Oh, have fun with it. Easy to say when you're fifth in the world. Not so easy when you're not doing bad, when you're not doing as well like myself last year. That's what I had to keep telling myself. It's just a game, Matt. It's just a game. But yeah, it does mean a lot to a lot of us. And yeah, clearly you're someone who's dedicated a lot of time into it with the amount of, you know, amount of seasons you've played. And yeah, I'm really hoping, Tabs, that you go on and, you know, and get into that first base. It'd be amazing
to be surreal. It's already surreal right now. I mean, I'm sure I'm never going to be so high up again. So I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy every last minute of it.
Well, it's been amazing talking to you. Hopefully we can catch up again this season when, well, maybe you're even a bit higher up. I'll try and not catch you after a red arrow. You've had so many green arrows as well. I think you've had, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You had 5 green arrows in a row from 5K up to third. And then, of course, when you come on here with me, you've had your first red arrow. But like I said, 2 places isn't exactly the biggest of reds. But Tabs, thank you so much for speaking to me. And good luck this week. And we'll check in again soon.
Thanks for having me, Az. It was a pleasure.